fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Thrilled to have you.
Yeah. Wow, it's been such a long time.
It really has. I'm going through withdrawals.
However did we all manage it? Well, for us, it was a little quicker than for you. We were actually quite bored without you. We had no one to talk to.
That's no complaints.
We're talking all the time. It's just that most people aren't listening. That's the problem. That's the problem people have when they receive thoughts. They think it's their own thoughts. How crazy is that? Why would you think it's your own thoughts?
Did you guys help me find my gloves this morning? Because I couldn't find my gloves. And I said, where are my gloves? And all of a sudden, I got inspiration where they were.
That's how it works. That's exactly how it works. You receive the thought. So it's interesting to say when something is little, like a pair of gloves, and you lose the gloves, then you want to play with it, and you're not so attached to them. And so you ask, where are the gloves? And you allow and believe the answer to come, and the answer comes easily, every time, without fail. It's only when you're attached to the thing in fear that the thing might be missing forever, or that it might make you late, or that there might be some other problem, that you can't find the gloves because you can't receive the inspiration, you can't receive the thoughts of where the gloves are. Or because you don't believe that those thoughts exist, that those thoughts come, that you have to create everything yourself. Well, you never have to create anything yourself because you can't. You're not a thought factory. You're a thought reception device. You're a thought reception mechanism. You're a biological clump of thought receptors. So isn't it more empowering to believe that all thoughts exist, whether they've been thought before or have never been thought, and that all you have to do is come into vibration alignment with those thoughts? And the way you do that is not by worrying about it or fretting over it or saying, why isn't it happening? But what you do say is, when I become a vibrational match to that thought through desire, then those thoughts will be received to me. You see, it's the desire. The desire is the mechanism by which you get anything you want. If you want to learn how to learn a foreign language, speak a foreign language, without the desire to do so, it'll be very difficult. With the intense desire to do so, it'll be very easy. That's why children learn how to speak so easily and quickly when they're young, because they have a desire to communicate with their parents and the other people in the world. That's why if you go to a foreign country that does not speak your language, you have a desire to at least get around. And so you can pick up words quickly because they're not your words. They're words that exist out there. And all you have to do is become a vibrational match of those words through desire. Now, what stops this whole process? Fear. Fear interrupts the natural process of receiving thought from the universe, from above, from below, from wherever it comes from space itself. And it just interrupts that signal. The signal is lost. It's like a satellite. If you have a satellite on your car and you drive into a tunnel, you don't get the reception because the tunnel blocks the satellite. Well, fear is the same thing. Fear blocks the signal. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Did you know any of this before? Did anyone tell you this before?
You.
No.
Well, yes. No.
I knew it when I was 2.
You knew it when you were 2. You knew it coming in how the system worked. Yep. And then you were told that you were not catching on quick enough, that you had to learn these certain things, but you had no desire to learn these certain things. Who cares about the imports and exports of Ecuador? Nobody cares about that, unless you're in Ecuador, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, you're supposed to remember these things. Do you remember them now? You learned them at one point.
Nope.
But How about climbing a tree or skateboarding or riding a motorcycle or skiing or these things that are fun and exciting? You learn these things quickly. Riding a bicycle. Riding a bicycle, you look at someone ride a bicycle and you say, how does that even work? How do they do that? But the desire creates, you know, the desire for freedom to get around, to move quickly. Desire creates this ability to learn how to do it quickly. If you had not learned how to read, and then you were, say, 12 years old, and no one had bothered to teach you how to read, and no one had given you a stigma saying you couldn't read or that you had some problem with reading, but just never came up, you never learned how to read, and then you became passionate about something, and in your passion was this requirement to read, you would learn how to read from zero to full literacy in weeks with never reading before. How is that possible? Through desire. Anything's possible through the desire. As long as the desire is more powerful than the fear, anything is possible. It's the fear, you see children with this problem all the time, that they're labeled some problem or that they're told that they're not good or not smart or whatever, and they instantly develop a learning disability because the fear blocks the natural reception of ideas and thoughts. What a wonderful thing to know. Yeah. So now that you know this, is there anything you can't be, do, or have?
No.
No.
That's right. Except if you don't allow it. And why would you not allow it? Because you have fear. The only reason you don't allow anything is because of the fear involved. If you had no fear, you would move gracefully through life with no negative emotion, experiencing everything you want to experience, feeling everything you want to feel, allowing the universe to bring you those feelings. Because that's all the universe is doing, is bringing you the feelings you think you want to feel. And that's all this is. There's nothing else going on here. You explore, you expand, you experience, you receive. It's a receptive universe.
I have a question about fear that shuts things off.
Yes.
Last night I had sort of a major shift, and right after it happened, just around worthiness, right after it happened, it just popped in my head. Oh my God, I'm worthy. I just am. I got this intense, you know, full body goosebumps that's been happening a lot, and they've been getting more and more intense. And last night it happened, and it was rising like a crescendo to the point where I thought I was going to orgasm. And then it was like, I realized it and it shut off, you know, and then I realized that I had shut it off. And so I opened back up to it and it rose again, but it shut off again right before it happened. So what is the fear? Why am I shutting that off? Cause I mean,
okay. So imagine this, you've lived your life for so many years.
Uh-huh.
You have not known that you were worthy before. In fact, comparing yourself to everyone else, you thought you were less than some and more than others, but generally not the most worthy person in the whole world. You didn't think you were the most wonderful person in the whole world. Now you come to understand that you are worthy. You are the most wonderful person in the whole world. You are everything that you need to be. You're self-contained. You have it all. And so you can start playing with this idea of, I can now, I have no limitations. Before, I had limitations. Who am I to be this person? Who am I to do this? Mm-hmm. I have no degree. I have none of this. I have all these issues with my family life. I don't have money. I don't have the things that other people do. I'm not famous. I'm not well-educated, that sort of thing. And I can find a million reasons to say why I am not worthy. And then you find out, no, you are worthy. Just by being here, you're worthy. That's what makes you worthy. It is a fact of the universe that when you come to physical reality, you come equal to everyone else who's ever come here, who will ever come here, and who is here now. You are equal. You are equally worthy. That is the fact of the universe. You bought your ticket, you entered reality, and you came here to explore something specific for you. That means you're worthy, right? If you were not worthy, you could not be here. You are a vibrational match to this time and place. That means you're worthy. So here you are knowing that you do not have to have a degree. You do not have to be famous. You do not have to have a talent. You do not have to be special in any way because you're already special. Everything that you came here to do is contained within you. You have everything you need already. There is nothing outside you that you need to get. Now you've found this out. You've figured it out. And that feeling is perfectly aligned with how your inner self sees you. So the feeling of goosebumps is a feeling of alignment. The feeling of orgasm is a feeling of pure alignment. The feeling of feeling good is alignment. All those things are alignment. Now, a lot of you can say, I feel good now, which means I feel partially aligned. Right?
Mm.
I feel aligned a little bit, and that feels good.
Mm.
Feels better than being out of alignment, certainly. And I can tell the difference between the two. But feeling pure alignment, which means you feel your own worthiness, is that goosebump feeling that you get from time to time. And as you go through life and you notice your goosebump feelings, you'll notice that that's the time when you're in alignment, when you're looking at some subject exactly the way your inner self is seeing it, when you feel exhilaration and all the joy and passion and all those things. Those are the high alignment feelings. But as you feel your worthiness, your mind starts to wander.
Mm.
I don't know if I want all this. I don't know if I want to have pure alignment. I'm a little afraid of what other people might say. Now, these fears are all minor, mm-hmm. right? But they creep in. And so, no matter where you are in life, no matter how high you get, no matter how far you move yourself, no matter how aligned you are and how confident you are, you will still bring up little fears, no matter what mm-hmm. they are. So, you just think of it as a level that you are going from this level of alignment right here, mm-hmm. and you feel better and better and better. And with each little movement upwards, you have a little fear that you overcome, a little fear that you overcome. And how do you overcome it? You say, this fear is irrational. I can see that knowing my own worthiness gives me this feeling of alignment, which gives me this feeling of goosebumps that I can raise and raise and raise and raise until I bump up against a fear. And that fear is also irrational. And that's my work, is to move through these irrational fears by soothing myself, by proving that the fears are false, that they're irrational, and that they have no ability to limit my life unless I allow them to. And that's fine too. Allowing or being resistant just means that you are not absolutely ready for the thing that you want yet. You are jumping ahead a little too soon. You still have some limiting beliefs to deal with. But you are moving rapidly in the direction of what you want. And I think you can see it's unfolding and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding as you go through each day. You're mm-hmm. getting more confident, more secure, more mm-hmm. authentic in yourself.
Yeah.
Excellent. What a wonderful question. We love the feeling of goosebumps.
Just one more thing about that shift that I had. I've been related to... A while back when there was a manifestation event with my gentleman friend, and I asked you why, like, I liked guys that were dicks to me. And you said, because I liked people who don't like people, because if they like me, then that makes me more worthy. If somebody liked everybody and they liked me, then it wouldn't be a big deal. And so there have been more manifestation events with the gentleman friend. And I realized last night that I don't have to prove anything about myself. I don't have to prove to him or to anybody that I'm worthy.
You can't. It's not possible. Yeah. Because if you're trying to prove your worthiness to somebody, it only means you don't feel worthy.
Yeah.
Right? And so all you're going to do is get back this reflection of how unworthy you feel. If you're looking for validation in the outside world, you can't possibly get it. You have to feel valid yourself, feel confident yourself, feel good about yourself, or whatever it is. But you can go out there and get a trophy, and you can bring home the trophy, but the trophy doesn't say anything,
mm-hmm.
right? It could be a reflection of your worthiness, or it could be a reflection of how you want to prove yourself to others. You could go out there and buy a fancy car, but that's not going to prove anything to anyone. In fact, you're going to get this car to prove your worthiness, and then people are going to treat you as unworthy owning a worthy car. Right. If you're so worthy, and you have this car, how come the other areas of your life aren't better? You'll never escape that. So that's why you can only be who you are.
So I have reached this feeling. I mean, it's easy for me to get back to feeling good. It's easy now for me to feel worthy. And that's not easy for him. And it's gotten to a point where it feels, I don't know, like I don't know how to coexist. And maybe it's time to not anymore. I don't know.
All you can do is take responsibility for how you feel about him.
Right.
And not how he feels about you.
Yeah.
You can soothe yourself.
Yeah.
By looking at fears, right?
Right.
But you can't really soothe him.
Yeah.
You can only soothe him by being different, but that doesn't help anybody, especially you, right? You could behave in a way that he'll get him to feel better and he'll stick around until you can't maintain that any longer, until you can't maintain that inauthenticity. You know too much by now. You cannot be inauthentic for very long periods of time. Right. You have to be who you really are. Yep. And so you've been playing this game of being a good girl your whole life. First to your parents, and then to your friends, and then to your teachers, and then to your boyfriends, and then to your husband, and then to this new boyfriends is the same thing, right? And then when they don't accept you for who you are, you feel like they don't love you. But the problem is they never knew who you really were because you were playing a game the whole time. And you weren't able to keep up this game the whole time, right? And you wanted them to be different than they were so that you could feel better about yourself. So now you can be who you really are, which is a very unique person. Yet there are multitudes who would be thrilled to be in a relationship with someone as authentic and beautiful and has all the charisma and fire and interest and passion that you do. So why are you trying to make square pegs fit in round holes?
Oh, my gosh.
Round holes into square pegs. We're not sure.
I don't know. I've been using that analogy in my head, though, wondering if that's what I was trying to do here. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
We love nonverbal expression.
Civil YouTube.
Excellent. So have we solved every problem you've ever had in your whole life just right now? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Excellent. Who else is suffering or having a good time?
I'm not suffering, but I just wanted to share. I have an interview this afternoon that just fell in my lap, which is the way it's supposed to happen, I think. And it's for a position that I'm kind of excited about because it's a CIO type position. So I like that.
Chief Internet Officer.
Yes. Information. But hey, what's the difference? And every other interview I've ever gone on in my life, I put on a suit.
Ah.
But today, I wrestled with it because I really wanted to take the motorcycle because there's a lot of traffic, and when you're in the motorcycle, you can go in the carpool lane, so it's much more easy. And that's just who I am. So today I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to wear a suit. I'm actually going to wear motorcycle boots and jeans, and I did put on a dress shirt, but that's it. And I said, I think it's better going into it who I am instead of trying to go in, impress them with somebody who I can dress up to be once in a while. But, and, you know, there was some fear, like, well, I could be throwing this job away by just doing this. But then ultimately, I just had to kind of do what I feel like I had to do it. It's like, I got to go with what feels good.
So you are in a high emotional state of being right now. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And you receive inspiration to do what? Dress in a suit? Or dress in motorcycle gear?
Motorcycle gear.
And if you were to think, no, I should wear a suit, would that be an expression of love or fear?
Fear.
So you know right there which is the right one.
Well, that's what I was hoping.
This is how you know. If you are worried about how you will be perceived, so you change what you were inspired to do, then you are acting out of fear. And that fear will never take you to where you want to go. If you are doing what you think is exciting and fun and interesting, and maybe it's out of the norm, then that is the inspiration. That's what inspiration is, as long as you're in a good feeling place. You can trust that. And that inspiration, we will not say will get you this job, but it will take you down the path you need to go, where you want to go, or it's the path of least resistance to get you what you want ultimately, right? Cool. So. Let's say that you get there and you are interviewing with a person you know and also someone else you don't know. And the other person comes in and they have a reaction to you. Let's say it's a favorable reaction because they think they ride, you know, maybe they ride motorcycles. Maybe they think you look cool. Maybe you look totally different than everyone else who has applied for this job. And something in them, from their good feeling place, causes them to say, yes, this is the guy. Mm. And so you've seen a perfect match of how inspiration has guided you to do the thing that, you know, is exciting but maybe not normal, right?
Right.
Or, and so we'll say that that's a good thing. Or you get there and the guy is totally, or girl, is totally turned off by you and says, this is absolutely not the person I'm going to get. This is a Hell's Angel. Where did you get this guy, right?
Yeah.
And so you are not going to get that job. And thank God you're not going to get
exactly,
that job.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
Because if you got the job, it'd be the worst thing in the world. But what you needed to do was go into this experience of meeting with people and talking about ideas and seeing how you could fit in that framework. And it'll be leading to the next step. So either way, it'll work out perfectly.
That's – I did not want to get the job if they – because this is who I am, right?
Right.
So what am I going to do, fake it the whole time? That's just not going to work anymore.
So that's what we would say most of you are doing, is you're faking it, right? You're trying to present an image of who you are that will be acceptable to whatever circumstance you're in. But if that image of who you are is not who you are, then you're just playing this role that is limiting and inauthentic, and people will see through it, and you will have this dissonance between who you are, who they want you to be, how you're not turning out to be who they thought you were going to be because you were basically being false about who you were by pretending to be someone you're not. This happens in jobs, relationships, in all kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
So by being your authentic self, even if you don't think you're good enough as your authentic self, you will be received authentically. And then if you were put into that situation, it's always for your best and highest good, except if you're feeling fear and you're doing something different, right?
Right.
So you're at this place right now where you're confident, you know about powers of the universe and the mechanism of physical reality, you know how the system works, you know what inspired action is. You know that if you're in a good feeling place and you receive this inspiration, that it will always work out to your benefit. You know that doing something else that might conform to the norms of what they're expecting feels inauthentic and therefore is thought out of fear. It's a fear-based thought that is not a good idea. So it's a very easy thing for you to do. And we know that you know all this already, and we're thrilled that you brought this example so that everyone else can understand what we're talking about here in real-life terms.
Yeah, it's getting really obvious these days what the path, the authentic path is. And it's interesting how it diverges from normalcy so often, if you know what
yes.
I mean.
Well, if you're raised in a society that wanted you to conform, and thank God you are here in 2016 and society is a little more freer and open than it was 100 years ago, you have the freedom to be authentic, to talk about what you want to talk about. You are allowed more now to be different.
I was reading just last night how when Christianity was the Roman emperor declared Christianity the only one. And if you had anything else, it was punishable by death. So I was thinking, wow, I'm glad I'm not living then.
Certainly not a match to those times, are you?
Not right now, no.
Right. You're a match to a free time.
Yeah, and I thought it was bad enough, right? I thought, like, I'm not posting on Facebook this weird shit, right? But to think about how, wow, it used to be punishable by death, you know, we've come a long way. I probably shouldn't be so afraid of this.
Now it's punishable by being unfriended.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
So there is no punishment for it now. You can be who you authentically are, and you will maybe shift those around you, bring in some new people. Other people may go away. That's fine. The other people are there just because you're holding on to them with a rope anyway by being who you aren't being. And it's not really up to you who's around you. It's up to them and if they're a vibrational match with the authentic you or not. But those who are a vibrational match to the authentic you, it's a lot easier because you don't have to play games. You don't have to be anything other than you are.
Yeah. And one last thing, since I brought up last night this book. This book I'm reading is by a guy who had two beings, non-physical beings, show up in his living room in a physical form. And they did this over a 10-year period. They would come and talk, and he recorded the whole thing, and he does this. So I thought that would be really cool and a lot less work than having to try to do it all in my mind, because then it's like, is it me talking? Is it non-physical talking? If two people just showed up in front of me and started talking, that's really awesome. So is that something you can facilitate, that you can wish for?
You're saying to us that having a conversation with two beings who are not physical, in physical reality, who show up in your eyes and you can perceive them physically, is easier than talking in your head to the thoughts that you have now?
No, not easier. Physical. It's more blatant is the word I'm looking for.
Well, you need an obvious example.
Well,
could anything be more obvious than what you're doing right now?
I know. I was realizing that as
why
I was asking the question.
Into your living room or
yep,
wherever you are
it.
Right now?
Yep.
Yes.
Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah.
Plus, who's more interesting than us?
That's
two
true.
Projections, anyone can do that. That's nothing.
Okay, I take it back.
We had to build a base, right? Before you could understand us, you had to meet Gary. You had to ask a few questions. You had to read two or three books. You had to look at a website. You had to see what other people were asking. You can't just come to believe in us from nothing. You had to go through Abraham. There's a process of all this for the beliefs so that we can enter your reality. And here we are in your reality, and you're like, ah, that's not really good enough. Beaten down.
You always want more. You said that. You always want more.
You would run the other way if they came in.
No, I would.
I would freak out. Well,
I would freak out, them. But I want to push through that fear and be exhilarated.
Your kids and your animals would freak out anyway.
That's true. Don't wait till I'm just alone.
Yeah.
Well, if you can arrange it on, you know, the backside, it's okay. I'm saying it's okay. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you have to arrange it.
How about you
can
show
I
up?
Create your reality?
You can show up. I'm fine with that.
We're here, right here.
Well, you can show up as a. Well, I'm open to anything. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that. And I'll
is the key: is having your belief system open. So that you can receive that which you asked for.
Okay. I'll do that.
Excellent. What if they were green and have big eyes?
That would be cool. Yeah.
And 5 feet tall?
Yeah.
Okay.
What if they look
We will order two for you.
What are those bugs that keep bugging you, Steve? What
Oh, the peach beetles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has to talk.
Oh.
They were talking. You didn't hear them.
Okay.
Who else wants to talk? Crickets.
Come on.
Yeah.
Be brave.
Come on, Emma. You got something. I know it.
Emma, it's been a long time since we talked to you.
I know. Well, I haven't had too much going on.
You sound like you're far away. You sound like you're in another continent. On the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Nothing much has been happening?
Yeah, I guess the last couple of days I've kind of been worrying a little bit because I had to enter in a self-assessment for performance review for the end of the year with work, and I've been worrying about that, what I'm going to write. I don't feel like I've achieved much this year at work.
Excellent. So what you write is that I, Emma, am the most wonderful person in the world. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I think that'll go down well with my boss. Yep.
Does your boss disagree?
I don't know. Probably.
What does your boss think of you?
Oh, I think he thinks I'm all right.
All right.
Just
on a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah,
from the worst person to the most wonderful person in the world, where are you?
7.
You're a 7 in his mind, right? And what would you like to be?
10.
Okay. And how do you get from being a 7 to being a 10? Do you, is there a way to behave that he will approve of more than he is now?
No, I just have to believe it myself.
You have to be yourself. Not just believe in yourself, but be yourself. Be your authentic, you know what your authentic version of you is?
A pure being of positive love and acceptance.
A limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, right? So, what does that mean? A limitless being implies that you are without fear. And why would you be without fear? Because you're eternal.
It's irrational.
All fear is irrational. And you're eternal and you're limitless. So, if you were a truly authentic version of yourself, you would be living in physical reality as a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, which means that you would have access to any information you wanted in the moment you needed it. Right? So, What kind of information could you access, let's say at work, that you aren't accessing now?
I guess inspiration for ideas to do different things.
Exactly.
That would be productive.
And why aren't you receiving the inspiration for ideas to do things differently?
Because fear is blocking the...
What kind of fear?
Thoughts.
Which fears? The fears that... Who am I to come up with these ideas? Who am I to present these ideas? Who am I to receive these ideas? I haven't paid my dues like the older people. I haven't studied like some of the other people. I haven't had the experience of some people. Things like that. You are limiting yourself based on what you believe that you need. But you don't need anything other than the desire and the belief that you can tap into these thoughts and ideas and move into a direction that will lead to whatever you want. Because everything you need is available to you now. You are self-contained. You came here with everything you need. There's nothing else outside of you that you have to get. The only reason people get degrees, go to college, study, have experience is to gain confidence, and the confidence alleviates the fear, and the fear is what blocks the ideas from coming. So if you have confidence because you have a degree or you have experience, you will receive ideas easier because there's less fear around it. You don't care what other people think, right? Because you think, I know more than these people because I've been here longer or I have this degree. And the people without the degree or without the experience think, I can't possibly come up with an idea because I don't have the degree or the experience or whatever it is that they are going to use as an excuse not to bring in ideas. Now, we're not saying that the best idea in the world is going to come to you the first day. What we are saying, though, is if you have this new perception of your own reality where you – know that you are unique and worthy and you are entitled to receive any thought that you want and that you can achieve vibrational alignment with any thought or idea that you want, that you will be led on a path that will bring you to a set of beliefs that will allow you to get there, right? So who you are right now with your set of beliefs isn't quite there yet. You have these limiting beliefs that are blocking this inspiration from coming. But you don't have to get all the way there now. All you have to do is let little thoughts and ideas come in step by step. Maybe the thought is to talk to a friend, talk to a colleague, watch a video, read a newspaper article, read a book, things like that. These thoughts will come to you. Maybe you're going through the airport and you walk into the magazine store and your eye catches a book and you think, why not read the book? And something in that book will lead you to the next step and the next step. And that's how the process works. Now, you could get there right away if you were completely open and your beliefs were malleable and you knew for sure that you could get to any idea you wanted to get to and that you had no fear. If you were being the limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance that you are, you would receive, as we do in the non-physical, any thought or idea when we need it. We don't write these conversations down before we come and talk to you. We haven't prepared anything. We are receiving the ideas as they come to us and conveying them to you. Because we have this desire to interact with you in a way that is helpful and beneficial and is life-altering. And so from that perspective of confidence of knowing how the system works, we can receive all the perfect thoughts and ideas and words and have Gary translate them into English that you can understand in a way that is believable to you in this format with other people here who are like-minded and interested in the same topic that you are. And that's, you can do the same thing. You can tap into any idea you want. So now, having known that, are you a 7 or a 10? That's your choice. Seven, ten. You can't be an 8, 9. You have to be a 7 or a 10, which is your choice.
10.
You're a 10 because nobody else knows this. Nobody else you work with knows this. They're all operating the old approach to life, which is fear-based. They're all thinking, I have to have experience. I have to have an education. I have to know what I'm talking about ahead of time. I can't create these ideas. I'm not good enough to create these ideas. Right? You know that ideas are out there that you can retrieve them and you can use them. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you know. It's what you believe. And if you have this... If you have this concept down that we've taught you, and you're starting to believe it, you will get little ideas here and there, here and here and here and here and here. And you will know. And since you don't know what your boss thinks about you anyways, because you can't go inside his head, why not believe you're a 10?
Yeah, true.
Or at least a 7.5. Mm-hmm. Or an 8.
But then is it not even a true desire for me to be better at work because I only want to make myself look good?
No, no. You don't want to make yourself look good. That's true. So what do you want? What do you want?
I guess just to feel good at work.
Okay.
Enjoy what I'm doing.
Yes, because you are a match to the work that you have, right? And when you're not a match to the work that you have, that means you're preparing for the next thing that you are a match to. So whether you have this job or don't have this job, it doesn't matter. So the only thing that matters is to feel good, because when you feel good, then you are receptive to the ideas that will further you along in this job or get you into the next job or get you wherever you want to go. Right.
Yep.
But you were saying that you were worried about your performance review that you had to prepare. Yes. And we asked you if you thought of yourself if you thought your boss thought of you as a 7 or a 10. And why we asked that is because when we ask you what your boss is thinking of you, you don't know. What we're proving here is what you're thinking of yourself in this position. And if you thought of yourself as a 10, then you would feel better about yourself in that position.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What is it that you do anyway?
I do like testing and stuff in laboratories.
Ah, what do you test?
Sampling. Crude oil and water.
Uh-huh. And what are you looking for?
Corrosion, mainly.
And what would be a breakthrough in this field?
I don't know.
A way to do it faster, a way to do it cheaper, a way to reduce corrosion?
A way to make my account more money.
A way to make your account more money? Exactly. So these are things you could be thinking of, right? And you could experiment and see if there isn't something that you could set a desire, maybe write it down, pick anything you want, and then see if you are receiving little inspiration, little ideas here and there, and just see what happens. Because when you can prove to yourself that what we say is true, by experimenting, then your beliefs become more solidified, and it becomes easier for you to get where you want to go. Because you're still operating with a foot in both worlds. A foot in the world that you were taught of physical reality, that you have to work and do good and be good and make things happen and coerce your conditions and control everything outside of you. And the world where we're talking about, where everything you want is coming to you, where you are being completely cared for and taken care of all the time, and where you are self-contained in a receptive universe where you allow what you want to come to you. So, for you to believe us, you need to do a little experiment and see what happens.
Yeah.
So will you do that? Okay.
Yeah.
And you can experiment with anything. We don't care what it is. But work is...
Sounds fun.
Yes. Excellent. Good.
Can you give a bit more, a few more examples about experiments for others in here?
Kate, does your boss think of you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what does your boss think of you at work?
Probably the same, probably a 6 or a 7.
Oh, not even the same. 6.
No, 6. Yeah, depending on the day, a 6 or a 7.
And you realize now that this is how you view yourself?
Yeah, probably.
In comparison to other people?
If
you compare yourself to... How many people do you work with that are in the same sort of position as you?
Same position, 6 others or 7 others.
Okay. Is everyone there a 6 or a 7?
In his eyes, there'd be one who's a 9 or a 10, one who would be an 8 moving up to 9, and the rest of us would be anywhere between a 4 and a 7.
Okay. Excellent.
Not that many at 7, I have to say.
Okay, so you're up in the top echelon of this elite group. Excellent. Okay. So do you have a desire to be...
He, of course, is a 10. Would I have a desire to be... Yes, I would, yeah.
You do? You have a desire? And what would that mean to you?
For me?
Yes.
It would mean more ease. It would mean just this... Sort of having ideas click in, not really care that he's sitting next to me because I know I'm doing a good job, and having receptive clients and being receptive to the clients, just relaxing basically, I think.
Okay. And isn't it interesting that if you would just relax, that all would come to you? Relax first, and everything comes. Not everything comes so I can relax. Right? It's not get $1 million so I can be wealthy. It's be wealthy and then allow that $1 million to come. Have that feeling of wealthiness and so the money comes. Have the feeling of confidence and feeling good and so the abundance comes. Have the feeling of ease and so that everything you want comes to you. Right? And this is why we say take one day. Have you done that yet? Take Monday and make Monday the most wonderful day.
Well, today was because I didn't go into the office. I've been trying a bit. Yeah. I have been more aware and.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
no. No. No.
No. We want you to take Monday and set it all up so that everything is wonderful. You get a lot of sleep the night before. You make your breakfast and take time and have fun with that. Or eat the best thing that you want to eat for the day. You intend for the day to go well. You plan out some things that are fun. Like you take your 10 best clients and those are the only people you call the whole day. Or 5 or 2 or whatever it is. Or none. You... make sure that you have a lunch appointment with somebody that's fun during that day. You make sure you have phone calls with people that are fun during the day. You make sure that whatever aspect of work that you really like to do, you do on that day. And if Monday isn't the day to do it because of the way your office is set up, then take another day where you can take a whole day and make it the most fun day so that you look forward to it. And we say Monday because you generally look forward to Saturday and Sunday and not to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday
mm-hmm.
is generally the day that you don't want to. Mm-hmm. The worst day. And that's generally the day that all, you know, hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
So take Monday and figure it out that is going to be the most fun day. And then learn, as Gary has learned, to make Monday his most fun day, where everything is organized around this call and working Joshua the entire day. There's nothing else going on. There's just meditation and answering questions and working on Joshua books and this call. And then he sets a massage up after the call. And then there's a nice – he cooks dinner and Lily comes home after work. And it's just one day he doesn't even leave the house.
Yeah.
So that now on Friday he looks forward to Monday.
Yeah.
It's easier for him, of course, but this is the idea.
Yeah. I got that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Get that. Thank you.
So now, in your mind, the same as Emma, in your boss's mind, are you a 7 or a 10?
I'm a 10.
Well,
I've just
used up
3 points because
right
I'm having fun.
But this is, since you don't know, you might as well say that you're a 10. And you might as well act as if you're a 10. And you might as well walk around with the swagger and confidence of a 10, because you do not know. And the fact that you think it's a 7 makes you act as if you're a 7, makes him respond to you as if you're a 7, because all he's doing is reflecting what you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's happening here.
When you believe it, they believe it.
Yeah, I'm creating it.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
We need to pause for 1 second here.
Okay.
Gary has a cold. Hold on.
That's rude. How can he do that? I mean, seriously, is he still?
Yeah. He's always there in the background.
Huh.
You did not want to see that. We're so glad we're not physical. Right at this moment. Excellent. So, Wendy.
Yes.
How have you been?
I've been pretty good. I had a good weekend with my son being home and Thanksgiving and family and all that, because that usually brings up all my crap. But I did
what kind of crap?
All my control issues. I want to control everything, and I just went with the flow and just enjoyed myself. So it was pretty good.
So give us an example of the flow.
Just not trying to control people. Like, be where you want to be and go where you want to go. Just because it's Thanksgiving, you don't have to be a certain place or with certain people. And, you know, my son was with his girlfriend's family. We went out to dinner with my mom and dad and my daughter-in-law. And then the next day we went to my brother. So it was just real free-flowing and easy. And it was just because I was just allowing.
And what did you do differently last Thanksgiving?
I fretted over nobody being home to have Thanksgiving with me.
And why weren't they home to have Thanksgiving with you?
Two of them live on the East Coast, and one was he deployed? Yeah, he was deployed. And he's deployed again, but he was deployed last year. So, yeah, none of the boys were home last Thanksgiving. So
okay.
I got 1 out of 3, which was wonderful.
And how would you have been, say, 5 years ago?
Oh, man. We would have had to do it traditionally. Everybody had to be there. If anybody missed it, how dare them? I would have been fretting because I would have been paying for everybody's flights home, scheduling flights, organizing flights. I realize I have come leaps and bounds in the last few months. And I do have one question for you, though, because in the last call, maybe it was, or whenever Steve was talking about his friend with the back pain, you mentioned that that guy was stubborn in his perspective. And that kind of hit home with me and my perspective, because I'm still getting the migraines off and on. They're not as bad. They're not as frequent. I see that it's all working, and it's the universe is showing me how to change into the version of who I want to be to receive what I desire. And they're giving me these opportunities to adjust and set my beliefs. And I really appreciate that. I love it. How can I be more aware of that? Sometimes I'll go through the day and then it'll hit me like, oh yeah, I haven't been paying attention And, or, oh yeah, I get, I, and a couple times things popped up over the weekend and I got a little upset and I'd get a little teary eyed and then I'd be like, everything is perfect. Everything is right. Everybody is where they should be and all is well. All is good. And I could easily flip myself around and
you soothe yourself, right?
Soothe myself. Yes. And is that the right path? I mean, I with these opportunities as they pop up to just really be aware of them and not just dismiss them, but work through them.
If you find yourself teary-eyed, yeah, that is an indication that your perspective is somewhat lower than the perspective held by your inner self.
Gotcha.
And so all you have to do is stop and say, hey, why am I teary-eyed? What is this emotion that I'm feeling that puts me into a low emotional state of being? And it is some irrational fear. It is some belief that by controlling the conditions outside yourself that exist right now, by wanting them to be different than they are, that you will feel better. Well, you don't feel better that way. You feel better by acknowledging that what is, it's perfect as it is, and then to take a perspective that allows you to see it from the position of your inner self. See it how your inner self sees it. And when you do that, the teary eyes go away. And you go, I feel better. Now, we will say one thing here, that the reason that many people have migraines is because it gives them an excuse not to do something.
Yeah. See, right? I don't want those excuses anymore. I don't want that excuse. I really don't. I want to be actively engaged. I'm so excited about finding my passion and the path to get there. I don't want to.
So that so what we will say right now is that when you have an invitation to do something or an idea to do something, mm-hmm, an inspiration to act, mm-hmm, the first thing you think about is, am I going to have a migraine that day? Mm. Right?
Sometimes.
So instead of thinking that, think, I am going to pursue this action despite what happens. And if I can't do it, I can't do it, but I intend to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? And so there's always little fear around anything that you're inspired to do, and the possibility of a migraine is an awesome excuse not to do anything. So if you remove that excuse, then you remove the migraines because the migraines will no longer be necessary.
Okay. I understand that.
That is a deep sentiment, a deep statement that's hard to understand because why would you hold on to something you don't want?
Exactly. And why do they come in the middle of the night when I'm not even aware?
Yeah. No, but that has nothing to do with when they come.
Okay.
It's not the timing of the migraine. It's the fact that they exist and they could come at the same time as something you want to be doing.
Right.
And so they exist as an excuse. The timing of the middle of the night happens to be an excellent time for them to happen because you're not doing anything other than sleeping,
yeah,
or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah,
like they came just as the turkey is being pulled out of the oven.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
And
thank God
they
come at night.
They used to. They used to come like at all times. I mean,
and that's why we're saying they're here now, remaining, hanging on, lingering, because you still need them as an excuse. So once you get rid of that need for them to be an excuse, or need for any excuse, or need for an excuse to even, you know, look at your life and say, oh, it could be different if I didn't have these migraines, you know, that kind of thing. Right. Mm. Then they will not be needed. And once they're not needed, they'll go away. Mm. That's the nice thing about your physical body. It responds perfectly to how you feel about yourself. It is like everything else in your reality. It has little atoms and little molecules that all correspond to your vibration, and they move in sync with how you are feeling. And if you have a need for a migraine, then a migraine pops up. Or a need for an excuse pops up. Or a need to for anything, it'll pop up within your body. And as soon as the need no longer exists or something else happens, it'll change. You know, you get diseases and not diseases,
right,
every
right
day.
Right.
You don't notice them. Right. Things pop up and go away. Pop up and go away.
Right.
Yep. So, you know, this is an intense thing. You have experience with it. It's right. lingered for a while here. And so it may linger a little bit longer, but it's a simple thing to move towards what you want okay. just by what you're doing. Riding okay. horses, being excited about life, doing things, following inspiration. That's all you need to do.
Okay.
And we mean everything. When you get an invitation to something, when something pops into your mind or reality, just do it, whatever it is.
Okay. The yes woman. Like Steve says, the yes man. I'm the yes
woman. Exactly. Yeah. In fact, it would be fun for you to take a book and write down these invitations or these inspirations and just have a column and a yes and a no and check off which ones you did and which ones you said no to.
Okay.
And at the end of a month, you can, you know, and there should be several a day. At the end of a month, you can see how often you said yes and how often you said no.
Huh.
So little things.
Yeah.
You know, like you're inspired to call someone and you're in the middle of watching a TV show and you think, I'll wait until the TV show's afterwards. Well, that's a no.
Oh.
Right? You call them that right. second. Did you get the inspiration?
Huh. Right? Okay.
You see an interesting movie or an ad for a movie and you say, we should go to the theaters and watch that movie. And then you never do it. You say, I'll just wait until it comes
right.
on TV.
Right.
No, if you have the inspiration, go do it. Because you don't know what's going to happen on the way to the movie or at the movie theater, who you're going to meet or on the way back.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay. That sounds exciting.
Excellent. Good. Astrid, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
It
I didn't want to talk
there.
Today. Yeah,
you
it is
talk?
Cold. No, I didn't want to talk today, so I was happy you just skipped me.
You almost manifested what you wanted. Why do you not want to talk?
No, I'm just, I feel like I'm sort of in between, sort of lost. So I just need, I feel like I need some time to just sort of stabilize.
Did you get our answer today?
Yes, that was perfect. I was down the shithole again, so I was crying, and then I got your answer, so that was good. Thanks for saving it.
Will you do us a favor and explain that answer and how you're feeling today and how that all worked out for you?
Other
people get the benefit?
Well, I'm sure you could do it better.
We could never do it better than you.
Oh, no, all right.
You see, you're bringing a first-hand, authentic experience on a personal level. All we're doing is relaying what happened to somebody else, right? This is the power that you have. This is the power that all of you have, is that by your talking about these things that are happening in your life, and people get to listen to them later, maybe not while we're doing it, maybe not this week, but maybe years later, maybe 100 years later, who knows when it is. But you are examples of what happens when you are involved in a really intense conversation with Joshua, with non-physical beings who have access to infinite intelligence. And we're living in a non-physical world, and we're seeing your lives from a higher perspective, yet we're not experiencing what you're experiencing. We don't have the feelings that you have. We don't have the negative emotion. We don't have the fear. And we can't articulate what you can. You are bringing life to our words. And that is, we would say, a magnitude more powerful than our words alone. And that's why reading our books is nice, but listening to you go through what you're going through and how with a little time you're evolving – and how you're perfect as you are now, and you're at the right place at the right time saying the right things, and you can never say the wrong things, that you provide the benefit that millions of people will never have because they will never get the same opportunity that you have right now. And somehow, some way, you created this. It was your creation. You brought this forth. So for you feeling less than this incredible teacher, this teacher among teachers, is humorous from our position because you just don't see how special and powerful you are. You all are. Steve does, but the rest of you don't.
I do.
Kyla does. We were just kidding. We said we were going to say Kyla, and then we said Steve just to be sarcastic.
Yeah.
So, just explain it to these people who are like-minded and who would love. Would you people love to hear what happened?
Please, Astrid. Yes. Please.
Yes.
Well, I was just. I had a really good day on Saturday. I managed to let go of some control. And things just happened in this perfect way. Everything just, stuff that I had been wanting for 2 or 3 years just suddenly appeared in. And I had just let go just a little bit. I was still, you know, the normal control freak. Just, I had just let go a little bit and then everything just, it was amazing. And then, so that was a great day. And then Sunday, I just sort of, I don't know if it was just this, like the shock of the day before, if it was just an overload or what it was, but I was sort of numb, I guess. And then I started thinking, if it is this easy, what then when I have everything I want? What about when I have the money, I have the body I want, I have the house, I have everything, then what? Because it just sort of, even though everything was perfect the day before, I still didn't feel, I wasn't happy. And it just kind of hit me, that thing that nothing external can, it can create these short moments of happiness, but it's not going to create this lasting feeling of happiness.
That's right.
Or satisfaction.
The
and
exterior
that was,
world cannot,
yes.
cannot bring you happiness and satisfaction. You see people trying to attain it all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
They try to get the beautiful lover, all the money, the nice car and houses, and yet at the end of the day, they're miserable.
And so I sort of, I guess because I knew, I had heard those words before, but I didn't understand it. And so yesterday it kind of hit me and it was not a good feeling because everything I thought I wanted, if that's not enough, then I don't know how to get what I do want. And so that was sort of what it got worse today. And I just, I guess I feel lost, or I felt lost, and I still feel some part of it. But it was really bad this morning, and I started crying simply because that's the only way I know how to sort of get release when it's that bad. It always helps when I cry. And then I got this answer from Joshua. I had a really good day about 10 questions ago, and I had written just sort of, telling about how everything was perfect and just how could I get this every day. And I got this answer when I was crying this morning, and they said that they had been saving this answer for a day when I would need it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. And the answer was that if I could just try to remember all the good days, in moments like this, and just try to remember that every day can be like those good days. It's just a matter of finding the better or the higher perspective and allowing and, yeah. So it sounds easy.
a day, like anything, is a matter of perspective. And you label it good or bad. And so you might receive some fun manifestations, and you might call that a good day. You might have some good experiences and have fun and feel joy, and you might call that a good day. But another day, you might enter into one or more manifestation events, and you might label those as bad days, right? Or you might have some contrast, which the contrast will help you refine your preferences or birth new desires. And you label that as a bad day. But really, the day is neutral. And you are operating in a dualistic kind of way. And if you will just remove yourself from that old approach to life and learn to see that everything is neutral and everything is good and right from the higher perspective. And if you will just adopt that perspective, right? So if Astrid is thinking that she had a wonderful day a few questions ago, she had a wonderful day on Saturday, but then on Sunday, it was not a good day based on the comparison between Saturday and Sunday, and that she doesn't feel happy now. And what if she can't feel happy now, then how will she feel happy when she gets all the things that she wants? But what's really happening here is that her belief system is being altered bit by bit by bit so that she can be happy when she receives what she truly wants. From Astrid's perspective right now, which is limited, based on the vibration that she is carrying forth or emitting right now, she has a mental picture of what would make her happy. A lot of people do. It is a lot of things that your society believes is good and right and will make you happy. And the universe doesn't care about that. The universe knows what will make her happy. And so the universe is pushing her in the direction of what she truly desires. And that true desire is put forth from who she is authentically as a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. And what she thinks she wants is based on, well, if I had this, I would be happy. So therefore, that's what I want, right? So she believes that she should be moving towards this mental image. And if she is a person who is controlling, when it is not seeming like it's going in that direction, she feels negative emotion because why? She's not seeing it as her inner self is seeing it. So imagine that you are on a train and you're moving ahead and the train slowly veers to the right, but you are looking off onto the left and you are thinking, that's where I should be going. You are thinking you know better than the conductor where you should be going. You believe off to the left is where my destination is. But the train conductor who knows the destination is going off to the right. And so you are feeling negative emotion because your inner self knows the conductor is going the right way, but you have this mental image and are attached to some specific outcome that is over here that you think is on the left. It's based on the illusion of reality, and it's simply resistance to what is. So what do you wise people say that you can do in these situations when you feel negative emotion? Get in the back seat. You're not the one driving. You don't even know where you're going. We will assure you that you are being taken to where you want to go, even though you don't know where that is. You can't even imagine how great this place is. This place is so awesome. The best place you think you can go is like a crappy little nothing place compared to this great place that you're going to. But as you keep scratching and clawing and fighting and then resisting and then giving up and stopping and then not taking the inspired action or being in such a negative state the whole time that you never receive inspired action. But notice how when Astrid just relaxed her control a little bit, everything worked out. And that's just how it is. That's just how reality is. It is completely different than you think it is. It is an attractive universe. You are cared for like a little infant. Do babies care if, you know, who feeds them, where they're going? If they're in the back of a car, do they care where they're going? Right? They don't say anything. They're sleeping half the time. Right. So be like a baby. Just trust that the parents know where you're going. Right? Now, when the kid gets to be 15, that's a subject altogether. In that case, actually, the kid does know where it's going better than the parents, we will say. Well, this has been an exciting, beneficial, wonderful, thrilling conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does anyone have anything pressing? If not, think of something for next week. We will give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, One? Okay. Excellent. So think of something for next week. Bring all your shit, because your shit is what enlivens our words. Without your shit, we're just words on a piece of paper. But you bring context to what we have to say. You may think that your lives are just yours, right? And your problems are just your problems. And your wins are just your wins, or just unique to you. But anyone who's brought to this specific program, anyone who's listening to this podcast all the way through, has found something not just in one person's thing, but in all of your things, right? And it's easier for them than it is for you, because they're not as attached to them, which when you're not attached, you don't have this fear involved, and so that you can receive the fullness of ideas that flow from this, because it's not just these words are your words. It's these words, your words, combined with thoughts and ideas that they are receiving when they hear things, right? So imagine is you and us and a listener, and the listener has 1,000 guides, 1,000,000 guides, 1,000,000,000 guides, right? And so the listener listens to what we're talking about here, and they receive the words that you say, the words we say, and also the words that are given to them by their inner self and by their guides. There's a lot going on here. It just seems like you're all individuals, but this group here is nothing compared to the group that's all around you all the time and all around everyone. And just by taking a little slightly different perspective on life, your reality changes. It's different now than it was. It'll be different today than it was yesterday. It'll be different this week than it was last week. And when you get to next week, when we're talking again, you will be different people. You will be evolved. You're perfect now, you'll be perfect then, but you'll be different. And you'll be, if you're allowing it, closer to where you want to go. All of you. Just trust that the universe knows where you want to go. You don't have to know. You can't really know, because as you project what you think you want, you're just projecting from this limited being. It's like saying to a baby, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? Has no clue. All it knows is it's going to grow up. And that's all you need to know. Because when you're being your authentic self and allowing things to come to you, then everything you truly want comes to you, if you allow it. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.